Good morning, everyone. Good morning, family. Good morning, beloved. Wow. This is the scripture that the Lord wanted me to read this morning. It's Jeremiah 31:3 and John 17. And it's here it is. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Fear not, I have reclaimed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Praise the Lord. In John 17 and 20, it says, neither pray, these are Jesus, by the way, these are Jesus' last words before he goes to the cross. I love the last three chapters in John. It consummates everything that Jesus stood for in his 3 years of ministry. If you ever get a chance to read those last three chapters of John 14, 15, 16, 17. They're so powerful. So here's the last of the last. He says, neither pray I for these alone. And he's talking to the Father. But for those also which shall believe on me through thy word. That's us. He was praying for his disciples. Now he said that about us. That they all may be one. Say one. One body, one family. That's the heart of the Father. As though Father art in me, I in thee, that they also, that's us, may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I give them, that they may be one, even as we, Father Jesus, are one. I in them, thou in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Do you ever think about that? Meditate that the Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus? Do you ever wrap your head around that? I'm speaking his word. That's exactly what he said. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, that he with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, that they'll behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. And Father God loved you before the foundations of the world. He redeemed you before the foundations of the world. And he called you by name and he said, they're mine. You're a marked person. Amen. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I've known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may also be in them. These are powerful, powerful verses of how much God loves you. You individually, right where you are in your journey with the Lord right now. Amen. Let's stand before the Lord and enter in to the courtrooms of praise, and then enter into the inner chamber of worship, where we're worshiping the Father for who he is and for what he has done, sending his only begotten Son. Let's just put all the cares of the world, all the things that you're dealing with, let's just lay them at the feet of Jesus. See him on the cross and put them at his feet and let the blood just drip on them. And don't even think about him right now. Just put your mind and your heart and your soul on what Jesus did in the Father God and how much he loves you. Amen. We honor you, Father. We honor you, we exalt you, we recognize your Holy Spirit here with us today. We stand before you, spirit, soul, and body. You've created us. You are our Father. We bless you, we honor you, we We give our all to you. We're not leaving anything on the table. We thank you. We bless you. We're grateful kids, grateful, thankful children of the Most High God. I feel this morning a different kind of anointing here today. I feel it's the Father's heart that just simply wants to share something with you. And we're going to allow the children to be dismissed at this time. And we're going to, Pastor Sid is going to Skype in. The Lord's got a message for you today, the Father. He just wants to talk to your heart today. So we're going to just move right in. Praise the Lord. I love family. Probably why God gave me 5 kids and almost 13 grandkids. I have enough love just to love them. You know, it's amazing. It's just amazing to me. And so I love you. I've always loved you. You are a part of my family. And I find myself percolating. I love that word because that's what I do. I percolate in prayer. And anytime the Lord brings a name or a face across my mind, I purposely and intentionally stop and pray for that person. It's a habit that I've gotten into over the years, and sometimes I just pray in the Spirit. You know, I don't know what's going on in their life, but the Lord does. I love that, and I love being connected with you. You know, I might not have an intimate relationship with you one-on-one because I haven't spent time. And relationships are about time, right? It's how we spend time with one another. And the more time you spend with somebody, the more intimate you become with them. And we don't probably have time to do that with everybody, but we should endeavor to. You know, we should endeavor to have a dinner a week and just invite somebody from the church. God, Father God is loves family. That's why he created us. He didn't have to, but he wanted to share his spirit and his nature with us so that one day, and we have flesh right now, but one day we're going to drop this flesh and it's going to return to the dust from which it came, and we're going to get a glorified body to where we will spend all of eternity, the Bible says, the ages to come with him. And it's still going to be a learning. We're still going to be learning. We're still going to be sitting at the feet of Paul, and I can't wait for that moment, and all the apostles and different people. We're going to continue to learn because we'll never catch up to God. We'll never know as much as God, right, ever. So, think about that. So we're always going to be learning, but we get to do and learn in the flesh right now. And when that moment ends, that will never happen again. Do you understand that? We have one shot in the flesh to get as many rewards. And he mentioned, I'm going to be talking about 3 things today that I believe is on the Father's heart for us. We have one shot, one short life time to do the will of the Father. And I know that this was my classic statement when I was raising 5 kids. I was working. I had a lot on my plate. I was juggling so much. And, you know, I still do that today. I think I've just kind of never lost that. The days are long, but the years are short. How many of you can relate with that? Especially if you have kids. You blink, you know, you're changing dirty diapers and you're going like that. I mean, I do that today with grandkids. And I'm going, but before you know it, they're in school. And where did the time go? time is so going by so fast. And when you hear teenagers saying that, where'd the summer go? You really know things are escalating, and things really are escalating. How many of you feel we're really in the end of the end? The end of the end. There's so many signs. Knowledge is abounding. Back when I was going to school, we had encyclopedias. If you wanted to know anything, you had to get an encyclopedia. Today, you pick up your phone and you click Google. And I'm telling you, you can find out anything. Stuff you don't want to know. Knowledge is abounding. We are really in the last days. So many things are happening right in front of us. And the Lord said to discern the seasons and the times that we're living in. So I wanted to teach on finishing strong, but the Lord had something else he wanted for you to hear today. I do want us all to finish strong, though. Amen? All right, so the first thing is this. In Genesis 3, long before Eve sinned, she believed a lie. If you turn to Genesis 3, you're going to see where Satan says to Eve, "Hath God really said?" This is his MO from Garden until today. The devil is trying to undermine, undervalue the word of God in your life. He wants you to think that God really didn't say that. And he'll argue with you. He will bring other people into your life that will confirm it. He'll pat you on the back to make you believe what he wants you to believe, the enemy. And all along, we have this bounded book right in front of us, the very word of the Father concerning our individual lives. Amen. So before a person sins, they believe a lie. It's really important that you understand this, because the Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And First Corinthians talks about taking every thought captive that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, we have to discern between God thoughts and devil thoughts. We got to get this. We have to understand that there's truth and there's lies. And it's important that we discern between them. And it's really important to the Father, because your whole life is about that. You cannot embrace or hold on or get truth the same time you're holding on to a lie. Let me give you an example. I sat in the front pew in Titusville with Pastor Dale preaching on healing one night, and I was the classic believer of flu season. When it came flu season, I always got the flu because the TV said it's flu season. Now, that's dumb to the second degree. That's dumb-dumb. That's dumb-dumb-dumb-dumb. But I'm sorry, that's where I was. And I got medicine, I was prepared, and guess what? I always got the flu. Well, I sat there, and he talked about in the Word of God, that 2 Peter 2:24, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. In other words, a moment in time, Jesus stepped out and identified with my sickness and my disease. He took on my identity in my sin and in my sickness and disease. And he stood there and he said, "I'll take that for you. I'll take that for you." That happened. He did it legally. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So when I sat there and realized that Jesus already identified with this flu, that I didn't have to take the flu, what? That, I had a righteous anger in me. I'll never forget it. All those years I was sick, I didn't have to be. Oh, I still want to get a megaphone and get on a mountain and yell truth. I was at a fork in the road, though. I mean, this is the first time that truth hit me in the face. And I still had a choice. I'm telling you, you have free will. And I knew that this road that I had dug, this valley, this rut of believing to be sick and have sickness, I knew I had to give that up. I had to turn an opposite direction. I had a choice. And I sat there and I said, wow, I've been lied to. This is truth. This word is truth. That I knew. That I knew the Bible was truth. I had made that decision. So in making that decision, I decided I was going to change my mind. So I did. Changed my mind. From that moment on, I said, I'm not going to have the flu anymore. I had symptoms of the flu because the devil does not want to give up his ground in you. See, at a moment, I don't care where it's at or where it's at, we've agreed with him. He's looking for a body. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to say this. Jesus legally came on the earth. He had to. He had to become a human being. And the reason for that is God the Father gave Adam and Eve, human beings, legal right on the earth to do whatever with what he gave them. I asked, the Lord said to me one day in prayer, he said, would you like to know my number one problem? Did I share this with you already? I said, you've got a number one problem, God? He didn't answer me. He just said, would you like to know? I said, yes. He said, my number one problem is the very gift that I gave humanity, free will. And of course, I immediately thought about his will is that no one perishes but comes to everlasting life. And then he said to me, would you like to know my number two problem? I said, you've got a number two problem? And he didn't answer me. He said, would you like to know? And I said, yes. And he said, my number two problem is my kids' mindsets, the way they think. That's his number two problem. Now, I've been meditating on that ever since. And I judge myself. I examine myself. Lord, am I coming into agreement with you? Or am I coming into an agreement with a lie? And I believe that that's really crucial in our walk. See, once you get born again, you are in the process of discipleship. I don't know if you know that, but discipleship is just a pupil. That's what it means, a pupil in an arena of learning. We're ever learners. We're never, ever going to stop learning about God, even when we get to heaven. So we're in this process of discipleship. We're learning the ways of the Lord. And that's a great way to see your life every day. What can I learn from the Lord today? What do I need to examine in my own heart? Where do I need to make an adjustment? Where do I need to change? Change is not a four-letter word. It's really a good word to God. Because we're supposed to change from what? Glory to glory, from faith to faith. We're supposed to be changing. I hope you're not the same that you were last week or last month. If you are, you're stagnating. You're not growing in God. There is an exchange. There is a putting off, Ephesians says, and a putting on. There is a saying, that's not right. That's a lie. I've believed a lie. I'm going to take on the truth. So I'm letting go of that. See, I had to let go of that lie of believing I had to get the flu because it was flu season. Now that might sound really childish, but it's changed my life. It's not just the flu anymore. It's any symptom that the devil tries to put on my body. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've walked 20 years not seeing a doctor. Amen. I'm being honest. I'm being very transparent. Doesn't mean I haven't had a fight of faith, because the devil will fight you for the word of God in you. He's after the word of God in you. He wants you to get weak in faith. He wants you to backslide in faith. He does. He doesn't want you to keep on growing and going and getting more powerful, that you destroy his kingdom in your life, in your sphere of life. So he battles the word in you. And he wants you to be weak. He wants you to think wrong thoughts so that you're not finishing strong, even in a given day. Hallelujah. So you've got to let go. You have to intentionally let go of that lie. You have to look at it and say, that's a lie. I am departing from that. Then you have to unbelieve it. How do you do that? You get the word of God on the matter, and you fill up with that. You fill up with the word of God. You know, I was going to have a vision here with a full container of water, full gallon of water, and then a half a gallon of water. Well, when the pressure of the enemy or pressure of circumstances come, if you're full of the word and what God says about you, then you're not going to cave in. You're going to be strong. The pressure inside is going to be so strong that when the pressure of the circumstances come, you're not buckling. But if you're half full of the word and you've been lied to, and you've allowed lies, and you've come into agreement, you've gotten weak. You've gotten depleted. And now he can easily cave you in. And all of us have experienced that in our lives, right? Me included. So God wants you to unbelieve the lie, and the only way you can get strong again is to fill up on what he says. Come into agreement with truth. And fill up on it. Have your fill. And get strong in the Lord. The third part of this unbelieving the lie is agreement. God wants you to come into agreement with him, not the devil. And you have a free will to do it. God is not going to disown you or not love you if you're agreeing with the devil. How many of you know that? You know, I've had people come to me and say, I don't know if I'm born again. You know, I did this. And this is what I say to them. You know the scripture in the Bible where we come before the Lord, I don't know where it's at the moment, and the people will say, Lord, Lord, I did this in your name. I did all these things for you. And it lists a few things. And what does the Lord say? Listen, we've got to understand every word in this Bible is important. The Lord said, I never knew you. There was never a moment in that person's life where they gave their life to the Lord, where they said, listen, I don't want to live this life without you, Jesus. I believe with my free will, I believe that you, Jesus, are God. That God the Father sent you because only God could take on all the sins of humanity. Only Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to the Father. There's many voices out there. There's many ways. There's many lies that speak. There's many ways to the Father. But they're nothing less than lies. This is the truth. If you stay with the truth, you'll stay on a sure foundation. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to the Father. And when we believe that, and we say that, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, when you believe in your heart, and confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. The heart is what matters to the Father. See, we're not to judge each other whether they're saved or not. Some people say, do you think they're saved? I hate that. It is none of your business. Amen. I'm speaking from the Father's heart right now. Salvation is vertical. It's between God and the person. It's not horizontal. We're going to talk about this is number three thing. It's not my business to know if you're born again or not. It is the Father's business. Men look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So the heart is God's business, Father God's business. It's not ours. If they say they're born again, I believe it. That's just the way it is. So we'll talk about this horizontal thing in a minute. Power of agreement. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In John 8:44, let's go there, because I've got specific scriptures. I know I'm saying a lot of scriptures, but I like to validate it with the word. John 8:44 says, you are of your, now this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the, what? Truth. Because there is no truth in him. There is no zippo zero truth in the devil. He is lies personified. He is the father of lies. He counterfeits the truth. He whitewaters the truth. He washes down the truth. He tries to get as close to the truth as he can to trip you up, but there's no truth in him. We've got the word of God on it. There is no truth in him, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He doesn't have agreement with anybody. He speaks of his own, singular. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you don't believe in me. Herein is a problem that the father has with his kids. The devil is a liar, singular. He has no agreement whatsoever, but he's looking for agreement. And he's looking for anybody or any mouth that will come in agreement with him. And we're the target. Oh, yeah. We're his target. Hallelujah. He's looking for that agreement. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they agree? All right, so what do we got to do? We got to break the agreement. So number one was letting go of the lie. Number two was unbelieve the lie by filling up of the word of God, truth. And number three is break the agreement. Where did the lie start? Well, I knew where my lie started, on the TV with the flu season advertisement. It didn't take long for me to recognize where the root of that lie was. Where did you believe the lie? I remember walking with Kevin on Erie Peninsula, and we were walking together just talking, and in the distance, this person was walking toward us, and it turned out to be a man, an elderly man with a great big white beard, and he had a white woman's bathing suit on. No kidding. This was many years ago, by the way, too. And I remember we got past them. We were silent. And Kevin looked at me and says, what was that? That's exactly what he said. And I very calmly said, son, that is a man that heard and believed a lie. It's simply that. Your life is a manifestation of lies or truths, if we really want to get down to it. And we have to discern the Father's heart for your individual circumstances, where you're at in life, to get on board with full truth. How many of you know you can walk in full truth? Doesn't mean that you're not going to be hit with lies throughout your days or your weeks or your months, but God has given us His Spirit. Everybody say His Spirit. His Spirit to discern that. Hallelujah. God's so good, isn't He? The Father is so good. So God wants us to let go of lies, unbelieve lies, and get in agreement with Him. So that's number one. Number two, as I was preparing for this, I had a lot of things I would have loved to talk about, honestly. But I wanted the Lord's, I wanted what the Father wanted to say. So I asked Him, and I said to Him, what is it that you want to speak to your family today? And He said, I want you to speak about 2 Peter 3:9. So let's go there. And actually, it's three different things that was on the Father's heart that He wants to share with us. 2 Peter 3:9, and it says this. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to repentance. Or forgiveness. Now there's an initial moment in our life where we get forgiven and we get snatched down of the kingdom of hell, where our father is Satan, which Jesus just said in His word, right? There was a time in my life where my father was Satan. Amen. And in your life too. But you had a moment where you asked for forgiveness and you wanted to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of life. And at that moment, Father God hops on that and Jesus and the Holy Spirit in a twinkling of an eye. And He sees your heart and He translated you out of that kingdom into the kingdom of heaven. And you are now a child of the living God. Period. Exclamation point. You don't have to wonder. It's not based on your works, not based on your behavior. Amen. It's so important that you get this, that you don't wonder, that you vacillate and are double-minded about it. When God does something in your life, God does something in your life. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? So that was done legally 2,000 years ago on the cross, but we didn't experience that forgiveness until we received it by faith. So it was always there, and it's still always there for anyone who's not born again. But you don't experience it, you don't receive it until you ask that you come in agreement with what the Father God did through Jesus Christ. And 1 John 1:7, Ephesians 1:7 says that we have redemption through His blood. And it is by grace that we are saved, not our works. Well, if it's not by our works that we got saved, then it's not by your works that you should judge your salvation. Amen? Think about that. I mean, I came from a Catholic religion. I don't know if they still do this, but we were going to heaven because of our good works. That's why I was such a moral girl. Didn't do anything wrong. Thought I was going to hell if I did. Now, that's good in a way, but it's not the way of the Lord. Amen. All right, so forgiveness is a big deal to the Lord. That's where we start, right? It's where we all start, is we understand that Jesus identified with our sin and took our place. It's a big deal to the Father. But we live in a world where there's a lot of hurts, a lot of abuses, a lot of things going on in our lives and with the lives of our sisters and our brothers. And just when we rub up shoulders with people in the world. Is that correct? Anybody here been just in a bubble and not experienced that? Anybody? Okay, we're all on the same page? All right. This is about forgiveness, and this is the Father's heart for us today. I want to forgive because I know I should, but I don't want them to get away with it. I want them to have the sense of injustice, to be aware of what they're doing and feel somehow, I want them to be aware of what they did, and I feel somehow if I forgive them that they're not going to understand that, and maybe they'll do it again. I wrote it down the way the Lord said, so I'm going to write, I want them to have this sense of injustice, to be aware of what they're doing. And sometimes we feel somehow if we say, I forgive them, that I'm condoning or agreeing with their bad behavior. So it's a struggle because I have this great sense of justice of what's right and what's wrong, and we feel that we have to lay that down to do this forgiveness thing. I went, wow, I can relate to that, Lord. I have felt those thoughts. I've felt that feeling. If I forgive them, then they're going to say, okay, it's okay, and I'm just going to, I can do it again. But that's not the Father's heart. It's not the Father's heart. Mark 11, let's turn there. Mark 11, 28 and 29. For some reason, this is strong on the Father's heart right now because we're really coming to the end and God wants us to finish strong in Him. Mark 11, 28 and 29, it says, I don't mean 28, I mean 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, does it say just some? Does it say some in your Bible? It says any. That means all, any. That your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now I want to stop here and say this. There's no emotion in that. No emotion whatsoever. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a decision. It's a decision of your heart. Jesus took out all the emotion. He said, when you stand, forgive. It's a decision. There was no emotion in Jesus when he hung on the cross for your sins. I don't think he had this warm and fuzzy feeling. Do you? I think he was in excruciating pain. But he made a decision. And not only that, he looked down at the Roman soldiers who took a hammer and pounded nails in his hands and his feet. And he said out loud, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So even then, Jesus was showing not only his heart, but the heart of the Father, forgiveness. The decision to forgive and the emotion that goes along with that decision, I want you to understand this, can be separated by years. Some people say, I can't forgive them. It's because your emotions are too erupted. They're too big. They're too in your face. That's okay. A decision to forgive isn't about your emotions. It's a decision of your free will and your heart before the Lord. It really is. I feel the Father wanted to separate this for you. Your emotion to that might take years for it to come into agreement, especially if you've really been hurt by somebody, an intimate. That's tough. You know, you'd be like dead inside if you didn't have emotions attached to that. All of us can relate, I'm sure, right? So, and it's only the ones close to you that can really, really hurt you, right? So sometimes it takes a while for your emotions to catch up with your decision. But the decision has to happen first. And then when those lies of the enemy come to take you away from that decision, to undermine it that you've done in your heart, you can discern that's the enemy. And I'm gonna pray for that person. I'm gonna lift my hands and I'm gonna worship God. You'll find whatever it is you need so that emotion gets closer and closer and closer to the decision, to where you get to the point where your emotion now is one of love. toward that person. And that is very possible in God. Sometimes it just takes time for us to work through those things. You have to bring every emotion back to the original decision. I did forgive. I did forgive. Between God and my heart, I forgave. Emotions, you will come into agreement with this. I choose to love that person and to pray for that person. See, the memory always remains, but the hurt no longer is there. You don't lose your memory of things, but the sting is gone. The emotions must submit to your decision. Turn to John 20:23, please. John 20:23, just open right up to it. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Retain means, I wrote this down. I think I did. Retain means to keep possession of. That's what it means. So whosoever sins you loose or let go, they're loosed. But whoever sins you retain, you keep possession of them. I keep possession of them. I want you to, Father's heart, I'm telling you, he's dealing with this. I keep possession. If you retain that sin, you keep possession of it, it will make you into what that sin is. It will become you. I did write retain. Retain means keep in one's memory, continue to have, keep possession of, absorb, and continue to hold. Keep something in place. Wow. It's powerful, isn't it? So the example is, you have, let's say you had an alcoholic father, and he abused you, he beat you, he beat your mom, and you grew up angry and bitter and unforgiving toward him, and as you grew up, you went to the bottle yourself and became an alcoholic yourself because you retained the sin of that. You didn't release and forgive your father. You know, a little girl could have been sexually abused by a man, a brother, a father, a grandfather, and she grew up bitter and unforgiving and angry at her mom for not intervening, at them for doing this to her, and she grows up to be very promiscuous, where sexual sin is a part of who she is. It's all tied up with loosing and forgiving or retaining and becoming the very sin that you hate and loathe. This happens at every level of our life, not just these big things that I just shared with you. The power, this is what the Lord said to me, the power of sin has the ability to transform something into itself. And I just gave you the examples. A person can become as bad or as worse than the person they loathe or hate. When you make a decision to forgive, it doesn't mean you'll feel warm or fuzzy. All right, turn to 2 Timothy. I want to show you something about Paul. I thought, wow, this is so good, Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and it says in verse 14, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. He is talking about Alexander, the coppersmith. He said, he did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. When I read that, I went, wow. Paul's angry about this guy. The Lord reward him according to his works. I went, woo. Of whom be thou war also, for he has greatly withstood our words. In other words, Timothy was having a problem with them too. Then look at the next verse. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. In three verses, we see a change of heart in Paul, don't we? From judgment to mercy. Maybe while Paul was thinking about this, he thought about himself standing over Stephen, whom he had charge over him being stoned to death. And watching Stephen, a man of God, being stoned to death with his validation to it. Maybe Paul was thinking about that as he was writing this. He went, wow, nope. I'm going to let this coppersmith, let him go. I'm not going to hold anything to him, his charge at all, because I sure don't want any of that penetrating my heart. So mercy triumphs judgment. And that is in 2 Peter 2:4. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. There are times in our life that things happen to us that the other people are just not in their place. They're either not in God, or if they are in God, they haven't matured enough to really get this understanding, and they're not going to change. That is out of your control. You are not their Holy Spirit. So I'm speaking to the individual. I can make a decision to forgive, and doing so, it doesn't mean they get away with it. How many of you know that? You allow the process in your life of loosing so that sin does not attach itself to you. Are you feeling a little bit more free right now? So what if they don't apologize? Now let's just take in the whole thing. What if they don't apologize? How can you be at peace? I'm really going to bring this out for you. Ephesians 2:1 said that you were dead in trespasses and sins. There's a distinction between sins and trespasses. Big difference. Jesus took upon his body your sins. A trespass, if you look it up in the dictionary, Strong Concordance, it's an offense against a person. You have trespassed my, you've trespassed it my property. You've trespassed it me. It's horizontal. It's right here. Sin can be vertical. It's my walk with the Lord. I can sin by myself. I could place an idol. I can, you know, the Ten Commandments. I can sin by myself, vertical to the Lord. Trespasses, on the other hand, are horizontal. They're with each other. They're one. It's with the brothers and the sisters. Look at, I'll give you a scripture on that. James 5:16. James 5:16. And it says, confess your faults. It says in King James, it means trespasses one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. How can you be healed? You can be healed physically. You can be healed emotionally, right? A lot of hurts, a lot of trespasses just wound your heart, and it's like hard to recover from. And you live in it. You live stewing in it every single day of your life because your heart is wounded by a trespass of another person. Jesus is very clear. He says, talk about, confess. Talk is confession. Talk about your trespasses or your faults with others. And I'm not talking, oh, this is my fault. I'm talking about a trespass here. And pray for one another. Get to the point where you're not just venting and rehearsing the curse. That does nothing. Let me just tell you, the devil sits back and just smiles when we rehearse the curse. That's why I'm not into long testimonies of what the devil has done in my life. I'm not into it. I don't want to give him 1 ounce of glory. I want to hear what Jesus has done in your life. We all have stuff. We all know what our life was before Jesus. I don't really want to know what your life was before Jesus. I'm really not interested. I am interested in what you're doing now with Jesus today. How has he empowered you? How are you walking in victory? How are you not the victim anymore? That's what I want to hear, and that's what the Father rejoices in. Amen. So when we rehearse the curse, when we complain and murmur, when we talk about our problems, you are in a trespass. You're locked in. You're in a prison. And that usually is attached to a lie of the enemy that you're dealing with. It could be attached with somebody else. And God, Jesus is very clear. He said, talk about this trespass with one another, that you might be healed. And Matthew 18, 15, 17 talks about, go to that person. You know, you stewing about it and stuffing it, you'll turn into the very thing that you're mad about. That lie will become you. That sin will become you. Father God gave us a way out to walk in victory and freedom and love. And he did. But we got to do the word. So if you have someone in your life that you're thinking about right now, that you've been stewing over and they've trespassed you and there's problems between you, horizontally you're not talking to one another, and you're representing Jesus, you're representing the heart of the Father, something's wrong here. We're in the last days. God wants his bride to be spotless of this stuff. So we have a job to do. He said, pray for one another that you might be healed. Then he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man, right standing with God, doing what the word says, it will availeth much. It will break off those trespasses and emotional stagnation and that crap and crud in your heart that you don't know what to do with. It will break it off and you'll be free. Hallelujah. That's exactly what the Lord wants. So standing, praying, forgive. Listen. There's a difference between you walking this way in life. It doesn't affect your salvation. You got to understand this. It doesn't affect your salvation. It will affect your life. It'll affect your fruit. What does the word said? We're not to judge if somebody's born again or not. But the Bible is clear and says you will know them by their fruit. If you're spiritually discerning at all, you can pretty much tell where somebody is. Can't you? Come on now, I know you can. You've picked up on things in the spirit. You can tell if somebody doesn't like you. You can tell if somebody's got something against you. You can. I can tell. You don't have to say a word. I'm picking that up in the spirit. Oh, they're offended at me about something. I don't know what it is. Sometimes I'll just come out and say, are you offended about something with me? Sometimes I'll address it. Lots of times I'll say, no, not at all. And I know they are, but they're not being honest. They believe the lie. We got to be real. See, holiness is being transparent. That's what holiness is. It's being transparent with one another. Listen, if you got an offense with me, please come up and talk with me. I don't want you to retain that and walk with that. I don't want that bitterness or anger or confusion or anything in your heart. I don't want that. I don't want that for you. And you shouldn't want it for yourself. You shouldn't want to be walking like this as a child of God. The Father doesn't want that for you. Luke 11:4 says, let's turn there. Luke 11:4. I feel like the Father is just kind of cleaning house this morning in all of our hearts. Luke 4, it says, and forgive us, and this is the Our Father, and we're saying this to the Father, and forgive us as we forgive others. Now remember, forgiveness is a decision. Your emotions might not have been attached to that yet, but you want your emotions to get attached to it. It's got to be an intentional thing that you captivate every thought, every lie of the enemy, and bring your emotions closer and closer to that decision. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 through 15. This is really super important. I'd love you to read along. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 15. This is it. This is it. We're coming to the end here. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 15. And I believe, brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hereto you are not able to hear it, neither are you now able. For you're carnal, you're babyfied. You're born again, but you're acting like a baby, is what Paul is saying to the Corinthian church. For you're carnal, for when there is envy and strife among you. There's division. You're bite-backing each other. You're agreeing with the adversary, the accuser of the brethren. You're accusing people of things. You're making judgments on people's lives. He said, that's baby, that's immaturity. I can't even talk to you about meat and real spiritual things because you can't get past this stuff. For while one said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, aren't you carnal? Who then is Paul? Who's Apollos? But ministers. You know, I'm of this camp. This is what Paul's saying. I'm in this clique. I'm in this group. I'm in this camp. I only listen to these people. I don't listen to you. That's exactly what he's saying. He said, you're carnal. You're immature. You're a baby. Hey, don't look at me. Look at the word. I'm just the messenger. Please don't kill the messenger. The Father wants us all to grow up. In Ephesians, he's helping us to grow up into one body, one man. And this is what's on his heart. He's making adjustments in all of our lives right now. He said, who is Paul? Who's Paul? Who cares? Who's Karen Burroughs? Who's Pastor Sid? Who's anybody? Who gives a rip? When it gets right down to it, heavens, it's got nothing to do with us. It's got everything to do with what he says here. The Lord. But we're just ministers, even as the Lord giveth to every man. I planted, Apollos water, but God gives the increase. God should be our focus. So neither is he that planteth, he that watereth, but God gives the increase. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Don't be looking horizontal. So neither is he that planteth, neither he that water. Now that he that planteth, he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive of his own reward according to his labor. For he that labored together with God, they're the husbandry, they're the building. All right, I'm going to end with this. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. That is your sure foundation. Amen? All right? But every man take heed how he builds on it. I have to take heed on how I am building on my foundation of Jesus Christ, and so do you. Look to your neighbor and say, you're not building on my foundation. So take the blame game and throw it in the fire. You cannot blame anybody for your life. You can if you want to, but if you do, you'll probably stop your spiritual growth. You won't grow in God because that person, you allowed that person to put you in a prison and lock the key, lock the door. Amen. So I am building my building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and so are you individually. You're the master of your life. For other foundations can no man lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon his foundation gold, everybody say gold, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. There's a choice. Every man's work shall be manifest. We're manifesting our fruit, whether you like it or not. I can see your fruit. I'm not saying that to be haughty at all. You can see my fruit, and you can see each other's fruit. If you're honest and transparent, yes, you can. Yes, you can. We're all manifesting something. All right, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abideth which he has built thereof, he shall receive a reward. We're headed toward our reward. It's coming really close. If any man's work shall be burned, it shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. That's what I'm trying to say. You're gonna be saved if you're acting like an unborn again person in your horizontal with people, in the nature in you. You're still going to get saved, but you're not going to have the reward that God wants you to have. You're not going to get the full reward that he wants you to have. But he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. Know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells within you? This is what it comes down to. You're born again. You have the foundation of Jesus Christ. You get to build what kind of building. You're either using wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. You will have that all put in the fire by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have allowed the lies of the enemy, if you've agreed with his way of living, speaking, and doing, you are building you're building with hay, wood, and stubble. It's all going to be burned. Your life, for however long you have, will have little value. You won't have rewards in heaven. And it's all going to be manifest what your life looked like in heaven of how you conducted yourself down here. That's all scriptural. When we go to heaven, we're just extending our life. We don't go in the grave and die like a worm. In 1 Corinthians 13 says, you will be known as you are known. So I don't know about you. I got a little Jewish in me. I like rewards. I do. I work for rewards. I like rewards. I'm just going to be honest. Amen. And so do you. How many of you go to work every week? Do you like your reward of the paycheck at the end of the week? Yes. Don't tell me you don't like rewards. Jesus is going to reward us for this lifespan that we have. And you're going to come with him saved, and you're going to have wood, hay, or stubble, or you're going to have gold, silver, and maybe we're going to have both. I probably will have both. I'm sure I'll have both. But I'm getting better of getting rid of that hay, wood, and stubble. I'm in my process of discipleship as a pupil of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he downloads truth like this to me, I get on my face and sob and repent. See, you got to repent out of sin. You got to repent into trespasses. You got to take this word and say, I've got a problem with this person, and I need to obey the word of God and go to them and get it resolved. And if it doesn't get resolved on their behalf, then Galatians 6 kicks in. Whatsoever a man soweth, they will reap. But as for me and my house, I'm going to stand before the Lord forgiving. And if they don't want to come in agreement and be reconciled with this and with me, then I'm giving them over to the Lord, and God will deal with them. But I'm going to live my life forgiving. And I'm not retaining their sin. I am loosing them. And in loosing them to the Lord, you have loosed yourself. Hallelujah! See, God wants you. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Are you indeed free? Yes, you are indeed freed by the blood of Jesus Christ, but in your journey as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, are you keeping yourself free? And this is how you do it. This is how you keep yourself free. Father, we thank you for the good word of God. Now, I know I've delivered what you wanted me to, Father, and what they do with it, your kids here, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, what they do with it is entirely up to them. But Father, I pray that this word is such truth in their life that if any of them have adjustments to make, they'll make them and get free. Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you're not willing for us to stay the same. You're not willing for us to keep going around and around the mountain and rehearse the curse and talk about people and backbite and all this stuff of the old nature, what we got delivered from. It's not what you want for us. You want us to walk in you and your ways so that we will have a full reward for the labor in our body in this very short time span we have in the flesh. My cry is, Father, help me. Help me. Holy Spirit, I need your help. to help me get rid of the lies, get rid of the things that I've settled with, the things that I've come in agreement with that are not of you. Help me. And I know you're answering this prayer in my life, Father. And I'm asking that you will bring each one of us to a place of repentance before you, to where we truly, truly can represent you, Father God, and your heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I wish we had time for an altar call, but you have time before you leave this house. If you have anything against anyone here, I would just say, please don't leave without taking care of it. Because this is the word of the Lord for this house this morning. And God's talking to our hearts individually because he's coming back. Jesus is coming. He is. He's coming. He's so coming. I would have loved to have talked about that this morning. But he is coming. But God wants, he's looking for a spotless bride. A people that is in love with him and in love with his kids. Love with each other. So my heart for you is to take this word seriously and act on it immediately. Because the devil comes immediately what? To steal it. To steal it. Steal what God wants to do in your life. So, praise the Lord. You know, we're not putting music on. We're not having an altar call. You're all mature enough in the Lord to deal with this word with yourself, by yourself, with anybody else, okay? But I really do pray that you do it, because if you don't, you'll harden your heart. It'll be harder the next time. This is the day of salvation. This is the day to act on the word. Amen. I love you. I love you so much. I know Pastor Sid and Jen do too, and you're my family, and we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. So love on each other. Amen. Hallelujah. Today's Mission Sunday, Pastor Sid's going to Skype in, and we're going to hear from him a little bit. So, by the way, worship team, thank you so much. Can we just tell them thank you? Thank you so much for your faithfulness, your time, what you put into that on a weekly basis. We're really grateful how you bring us right into the presence of the Lord. We're thankful for that. Jan, you want to come up?
Well, we're going to prepare to take our tithe and offering this morning. If you need a cash envelope, raise your hands. And we're going to take the mission offering, not now, but after Sid Skypes in. So if you're going to need a cash envelope for then, just get that now as well. So anyone need a cash envelope? If you're making out your check to CWI, when we do the mission offerings, just memo if you want it to a specific person, or if it's just general missions, that'll work too. And if you're doing a credit card donation, I do need all the information to process it. I just really felt like the Lord wanted us to talk about the heart in context of giving. The heart really matters to God. Why you do things, what our motives are for doing what we do, it really does matter to him. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, it says, each person should do as he has decided in his heart. I know I'm jumping into a really great scripture, like all the scripture right here is so powerful. I'm just taking verse 7. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not out of regret or out of necessity, but for God loves a cheerful giver. You can do the right thing with the wrong reason, for the wrong reason. It really, really matters to him not to do it just out of, you know, we give and we tithe, and that's good. We should. We're supposed to. There's scripture for that. But why? Is it just a sense of duty? Oh, I'm going to come to church, pay my dues, you know, hopefully things are going to go well for me, but you know what? Or is it a trust? I'm doing it out of love. I'm doing it out of worship. I'm doing it in faith because I know he's my provider and he's my source. And if we don't watch ourselves, it's easy to get off track. And we're just, it's a habit. We're really no faith attached to it. We just do it. You see this in Luke, the Pharisees. Jesus said to them, he says, woe to you Pharisees. You give a tenth of mint, rue, and every kind of herb, and you bypass justice, and love for God. Now, here would have been a great place for Jesus to say, you know what, that tithing thing, that's really not even for today. I mean, I don't know why you're bothering to do that. I mean, down there with your herb stocks and you're counting, okay, we got 13, so we're going to take one stock plus a part of this, you know. They were doing it. They were doing this tithe thing. And he says, you know, you should do that. This is important. He didn't say, forget about that. He said, but where's the love for God? It was to have it, just a thing. And then you have the widow. I mean, it's not about amount. You have the widow that, as they're giving an offering, you got the rich people coming up and putting in all these huge amounts of money, and the widow comes up and just put in, you know, something that was so small, maybe it was like the size of a penny or something. And he says she's given more than anybody. I mean, so it's not about, oh, well, you know, we got to, it's the amount. It's the heart. And he said she gave more than anybody because she gave her all. And to do that, she had to really be trusting. So we see the trust. We see the faith in the Father in her as her source. So we want to return our tithe this morning in faith, recognizing God as our source, as our provider. All right, ushers, do you want to? Actually, I'm going to pray over that offering first. That's what I think we agreed on. All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for your word that we can attach our faith to. And we cheerfully return this tithe to you, Lord, recognizing you as our source, and we just trust you to meet all of our needs. We trust you to be a good daddy, a good father, like you said in your word. And it's an honor to return this to you. We love you, Father, and we just give you praise and ask for a harvest to be returned to all the people's account. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, this is the tithe offering, yeah. Missions will be later, so I think Sid will be up soon.
Okay, good morning, church family. We are sitting in Antioch, and we are on the way to the airport right now in Larry and Kay's car. Here, I'll turn you to where they can see you.
Hello, everybody.
And we have a young man in the car here with us, Jeremiah from over in Meadville, Pennsylvania. So, whoops, I dropped my phone here. So I wanted to talk to you just a little bit about something that I believe is a bit of word that we can fasten our faith to, because you've been a part of something that's going on here in Turkey, and I believe it's very important that you continue to release your faith for what God is doing here. And you remember the story in John where Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. And one thing that, as he did that, you know, we remember the part about Peter and how Peter didn't want him to, you know, wash his feet. He's like, oh, no, because you're our Lord. You shouldn't be washing our feet. And, of course, Jesus told him, well, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And so Peter immediately wanted a bath. And I love Peter's heart in that. And a lot of times we look at some of those illustrations and we don't catch what comes right after that. So this morning I'm going to read a couple verses to you that I would like for you to, if you want, you can follow along. It'll be in John chapter 13. And I'm going to begin reading to you in verse 12. It says, when Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer robe, he sat down again and told them, do you realize what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you must also wash one another's feet. I've set an example for you so that you may do as I have done to you. Now here's the part I want you to catch. Truly, I tell all of you emphatically, a servant isn't greater than his master, and a messenger isn't greater than the one who sent him. Here, let me pull up my Skype again. All right. So in this verse where it says that the one that is sent is not greater than the one that did the sending, And I really would like for you to receive the revelation on that as a church, because you guys have been sending the gospel here into Turkey, both with the Mirabellas and with Larry and Kay. Some of you have hooked up with them monthly. And so as you sow the seed and as you give offering, and they're the sent one, you realize, but you also have a part in it. And as Jesus became servant to those disciples and as he washed their feet, he wanted to make sure they caught a principle of not just serving, but that there's an equal reward for the one that sent as well as the one that did the sending. Or did, I'm making up words now, senting, did the sending. So I know today is Mission Sunday, and while we're not there with you in body, we certainly are in spirit. So as you take you guys have made faith promises. And so this morning on those faith promises that you've made, continue to ask the Lord and look to the Lord for him to provide what you've had in your spirit to do. God's vision, I'm pretty sure, is bigger than ours usually. So as we give, as we sow into the kingdom, let's allow his vision to get into us in even bigger ways. Now, before we pray, I'll just let Levi here. Would you like to say anything? I'm putting you right on the spot, I know.
All right. Yeah, everything Pastor said was so good, and I can attest to that for, you know, being a missionary and going out in different countries already in the last few years, that sometimes it's hard for people to understand the fact that if you're sending someone out, you take part in the same reward as the one that's actually going out. So it's very nice to all be part of that. You know, Paul said that my God shall supply all your needs, because people that he was talking to were giving to him and to his ministry. So just know that, you know, our God will supply all your needs in everything that you're doing. But yeah, it's great to be here for the first time. I'm learning new things about the culture here. And then on Saturday morning, I'll be flying over to Ukraine. So be in prayer for that. I'll be over there for about 3 days with Alex and Apostle Mills.
And tell our lead usher hello, that's looking in the window. He doesn't hear us. All right, well, let's pray over our faith promises and over the seed that we're going to sow. And we're going to release our faith, and that God is going to absolutely do what he has promised to do in his word. So I don't know if you've passed out envelopes or what you're doing there. Yes? Okay, are you all ready to pray? All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your precious promises that you've given to us, and that you take a very deep interest in our finances. You saw fit to give us promises that pertained precisely to finances. So we look to you to be our source, to be our provision, to be our only source. We know that you've given us many resources, and we acknowledge that these resources come from you. And Father, we return our tithes to you. We give you our offerings, and we tell this seed to grow and to multiply, and that the word of God will absolutely be effective in these finances, and that the finances will go and be a blessing, that they will enable the gospel to go forth and for the kingdom of God to be expanded. I thank you for this, Father. And in the name of Jesus, you guys are blessed in every way, according to his word, and amen. Well, we love you guys very, very much, and we are going to be going from here. We're on the way to the airport to rent a car, and then we're going to be driving over to the Mirabellas this afternoon and evening, which is about 3 hours away, and then we'll be in that area the rest of the time. I'm not sure exactly where, with them, let's put it that way, until the weekend, at which point Levi will go over to Ukraine. And we'll see yet what God has in store for me, but it'll be exciting, so we'll see. All right, we love you guys.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
And I miss him. All right, we can pass the baskets. It really is exciting to be able to take part in that work, you know? To know that we are enabling the gospel to go out into those countries, those regions. Without finances, it doesn't happen. Well, I know there is an anointing on Karen this morning, and I'm expecting the Lord to speak through her. And let's just have our hearts open, prepared to receive, willing to make an adjustment needed. Karen, you want to come?
Let's pray. I'm going to have you pray for Pastor Seth.
All right, let's pray. All right, Father, I just thank you so much for the wonderful man you've given me as a husband and a father. And I just thank you that for the pastor he is here. And we love him. And Father, I ask for your protection on him. Let your anointing be strong on him. As he just show him where to go and how to go, what to say, what not to say, where to step, what not to step. Father, these things need to be threaded in that country. You know the dangers that can be there. And I just trust that you're guiding him, and that your angels stand guard around him, and that everything that he does and says, Father, there's favor on him. Yes. And your power flows through him and affects the people he comes in contact with. Father, I just ask for your anointing to be strong on Karen this morning. Let your spirit flow through her. And we just are expecting for great things this morning. In Jesus' name.